Amen. We're starting a new series today in 1 Peter. I don't know if I'm going to go through 1st and 2nd. I'm thinking I will go through 1st and 2nd. I don't know if it'll be as exhaustive as Ephesians was, but it's the way I was taught to preach. I've been topical for the last several months, and I want to just go verse by verse through 1 Peter, calling the series The Doctrine of Encouragement. The Doctrine of Encouragement. Today's message, we're going to look at the purpose of election. Probably one of the, if not the most, divisive issue in Christendom. Some people might think, oh, women preachers speaking in tongues. You start talking about election and you start dividing. And I felt it in my own relationship with some friends. We've had problems in this area. I'll look at it today. The purpose of election. A lot of times I'm way ahead, huh? This is all standing. I'm going to get me a minister up here to pull my coattail. I don't know. I'm going to get me a minister up here and keep me on task. Amen. A called one.
That's right.
An elect one. How about that? Amen. Amen. I'm in 1 Peter, chapter 1. Let's read 7 verses. If we're only going to cover 2 today. Let's read 7. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you in peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through the manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God.
Thank you.
Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your effectual call to those here that are saved and truly your elect people. Father, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for not letting Peter, when he denied you 3 times, being such a forgiving God that you called Peter, said, bring Peter. And then you empowered Peter and you equipped him for such a great work. Father God, we believe that you still have that power. We know you do, and some of us, Father God, need to be equipped for great work. Let it start today. Let our equipping start today, Father God, that we will go out into this lost world, Father God, stronger and more encouraged, knowing that we are truly your children. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The purpose of election. The purpose of election. The doctrine of encouragement. I didn't find that doctrine nowhere. I sort of just made that up. You know,
A lot of folks out there, they got doctrines for everything. I just said, well, it just sounds like the doctrine of encouragement to me. There, where everything I see in it is trying to encourage. I think about it, and it still happens today, when the troops are overseas, and the troops are overseas, and they're up against it, and they may be being criticized on in America or in the USA. They shouldn't be over there. They're fighting up meaningless war. All this. They're going through all this, and at the same time, shots are being fired at them, and they're being criticized and ridiculed by their own people.
Amen.
Then we see the president go over. The president himself, he'll get on Air Force One, and he'll go over and he'll speak to those troops, let them know that they're fighting a good cause, and that America has their back, and that don't listen to the naysayers. This is sort of what I see when I look at Peter in his letter today, and his letter to those scattered, those he calls strangers, or some translations may call them aliens. They were scattered throughout, and they were being ridiculed, and they were being tortured, and they were being Nero was at that time, I think this would have been in 64 AD, around that area. Nero was in charge, and he was just ridiculing and mocking and killing, using the Christians as torches at his parties. And at that time, I believe he set all of Rome on fire and then blamed it on the Christians. And the Christians were under distress. They were under attack. And Peter, being the great leader that he was, goes and visits them. It's not a letter like an epistle. This was a letter that he wrote to these strangers. He calls them aliens. And truth be told, that's what we are. Some of us get so comfortable around here, nothing bothers us. Should never be. Some of us can watch anything and go anywhere and hang around any type of people and nothing bothers us. You're not a stranger. I dare to say you may not even be a Christian if you're not a stranger to the things of this world. Well, I know that's not popular, because we want to be popular. The church is popular, you know. I think when Billy Graham came on the scene in the 60s, he made the church popular. It was popular to be a Christian. That's never been the case. You're a Christian, you're not going to be popular.
Amen.
Not if you're a Christian that stands for something.
Amen.
Look at Peter in verse 1. Peter starts off this letter. And because it's such an important letter, he has to give his full apostolic authority. That's what you see there, Peter. There's a lot of Peters in that day. Popular name. Okay, that would have been like me writing the letter Keith. That's where I would end it at. But Peter keeps going. He said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. There's a comma there, and I'm going to stop there because there's a comma there. An apostle. What's Peter talking about? Because there's apostles today. So, you know, there's apostles today, you know. There's one on the south side. Okay. My sister-in-law's pastor calls himself an apostle. I was at his church one time. I wasn't paying attention. And I was at a funeral, and everybody stood up. And I stood up, and they say, all rise, the apostle's coming in. And then I sat down. Like, wow, how did I get caught? That's what happened when you got an iPhone in church. An apostle. One commissioned by Christ. Now, if you're an apostle today, that's going to be hard to do. One commissioned by Christ. One who received direct revelations from Christ. Christ is speaking directly to this person, this apostle. One who has seen. Y'all pay attention now. One who has seen the resurrected Lord. Okay? And that's not because you was at Bellaria and you have too many slices of pizza. Cindy and I eat the pizza and go to bed, and she be rolling one way and I be rolling the other. One who has a
successful ministry. Peter had a successful ministry. You wouldn't know it by 1 Peter. You would think on today's standards it would be a failure. His ministry would be a failure. But in God's economy, Peter had a successful ministry. What makes a ministry successful? The word of God is preached. It's not numbers driven. It's not based, he couldn't be having a successful ministry because too many empty seats. Success today means a full house. That's right, Mary. Here's one. An apostle suffered for Christ. Peter was suffering. You pay attention to this series. This series on 1 Peter. Peter suffered. Why? Because as the man of God, when your people suffer, you suffer.
Amen.
A pastor who's not suffering with his people is not a shepherd. A true shepherd don't suffer. When the sheep is hurt, that pastor's hurt. When the sheep is sick, that leader is sick. So Paul gives this his apostolic authority. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, as we move on, he says, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. What's he talking about there? Turn to Acts. Turn to the book of Acts. Let's just clear this thing up. Because Peter preached this great message. See, when you get saved, now I know this ain't popular neither, but I'm not popular.
Amen.
If you don't believe this, call my job and not popular. Peter wasn't popular. Preach the message. General call went out. Everybody heard it. Everybody didn't receive it. It wasn't effectual to everybody. It's like it wouldn't be today.
Amen.
And what I'm doing right here is sending out a general call, a message going out.
Amen.
Some people are here and it'll minister to their souls and they'll be changed forever.
Amen.
And some folks are here to be just like the story I told you about the three guys went deer hunting.
Oh, yeah.
And go in one ear and out the other.
Amen.
But look at Acts chapter 2. Peter, the great day of Pentecost, and apostles were speaking in the true gift of tongues. And they were filled, verse number 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In their dwelling at Jerusalem, devout man out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. Wonder what they heard. What do you think they heard? What do you think an apostle would have been preaching on the day of Pentecost?
Amen.
Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
True gift of tongues.
Amen.
Verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, art not all these which speak Galileans? And those are the ones who didn't receive it, especially. They didn't want to believe it. So they make it up an excuse. Oh, aren't these all unlearned Galatians? Or Galileans, excuse me. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea. Here's our people. Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. These are the groups Peter's talking to now.
Amen.
Scattered.
Yes, sir.
They heard the word of God. They took it back to their hometowns and they became strangers in their hometowns.
Yes.
See, when you receive the word of God and you live in Youngstown, Boardman, Canfield, Poland, Girard, Liberty, Newton Falls, Warren. When you receive the word of God, take it home, and you really receive it, you will become a stranger. You'll become a stranger in your own hometown. Nothing's really changed about the hometown. The change has taken place in you. Now you become something different. You become that husband who says, I'm going to be faithful to my wife and to my family.
Amen.
And in the world we live in today, that makes you a stranger. You become a stranger if you're that businessman who has decided, because you are a man or a woman of God, you're going to do things right. You're not going to cheat folks. You're not going to hustle and connive. You become a stranger to that car dealership you may be working at, or that pizza place you may be putting 8 pieces of pepperoni on it and we call for 12. Cindy asked me where that comes from. I don't know, Cindy. If you are a teenager, if you are a Christian teenager, and you decide to live for Jesus, you will be a stranger in that school. You'll be a stranger walking down the halls because you won't be walking like everyone else. You won't be dressing like everyone else. You won't be talking like everyone else. You'll be a part of, we call it in the police work, the fraternal order of police. We'll call it in Christianity, the fraternal order of Christians. That's what you're a part of. And if you want that promotion, and you know you have to compromise your integrity, compromise your morality to get that promotion, you'll say, I don't need that promotion. You'll be a stranger in your workplace. I don't know. Let's go back. Peter's talking to that group. Peter's talking to that group of people. They are being persecuted. Remember, I always say in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Wasn't long ago, Sister Lori was at a restaurant, I think it was Panera, and they were going around Austintown talking about how exciting it's going to be when the Racino opens up and how everybody's going to, the economy's going to explode. They didn't tell you about Detroit and New Jersey. They just don't tell you that stuff. But they were asking everybody in the Panera, and they was, oh, I'm excited, I can't wait to go. And they put the mic in front of Lori's face. And they didn't put what she said on TV.
Amen.
They didn't. Because she's a stranger.
Amen.
She's a stranger. She understands what the damage of gambling can be. How it can bankrupt you. And how many homes have been foreclosed. And different things because of it. Marriages, yeah, absolutely. So when you decide to live for Christ, I'm a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna have the same friends.
Amen.
And you don't gotta tell them nothing. See, you don't have to sit here and tell them, look, I'm a Christian, I can't hang with you. You don't have to do that. You just live for Christ. You just live for Christ and Christ will take care of all that. Okay? See, when one of these NFL football players get drafted in the first round, they don't have to move like you and I move. Okay? Back-breaking work, packing boxes. When you just signed a $30 million contract, you don't have to do no work. All you have to do is get on your phone and say, I'm moving. Send me some movers over here. I'll meet y'all in the city where I'm going. See, when you come to the Lord, you become a stranger. And you don't have to tell your friends nothing.
Amen.
You tell them, listen, I've decided to follow Jesus. Jesus has came into my life and quickened me out of the deadness and the darkness that I was in. And now I'm living for Him.
Amen. Amen.
And folks will run from you.
Amen.
You tell them you don't drink no more. I remember when God saved me and my buddies used to come over and open up the refrigerator and just popping them. And I didn't even drink. They just popping them. And then they come over and they open it one day and I got skim milk in there. They looked at me, what's wrong with you? Things change. Somebody said, there's been a change in me. and I became a stranger to them. They may have come over one more time to check out, make sure that I wasn't totally crazy, and they seen the skim milk again, and that was it. Strangers scattered throughout our area. We got strangers throughout our area. Are you a stranger? I guess that would be the question that we close on verse 1. Are you a stranger? Or is the world familiar with you? How about this? You got 4 hours of 4 hours of 4 hours of, I don't even know what word I want to use for this mess that's coming on tonight. And they got Ellen DeGenerate hosting it. Now you can sit there and listen and watch Ellen for 4 hours. You may be, or you may not be, a stranger to the world. Because what Ellen is doing tonight is promoting that whole lifestyle.
Amen.
To all of Hollywood who promotes it. And if you as a man or woman of God can sit and watch the Oscars, then you may not be where you need to be.
Amen.
I'm going to say it.
Amen.
I'm just keeping it real. And I know some of y'all are going, man, you ruined my night.
Thank you.
Man, all right. I don't think nobody's here planning on. Listen. Verse number 2. Here's that huge word. Elect. They did a good job of talking about elect. What's elect mean? I'm just going to stop right there. What's elect mean? Chosen. When did he choose you? Before the foundation of the world. When did he call you? See, the election took place when? Before the world was founded. The calling is taking place then. I'm calling you now. And it can be a general call, or it can be an effectual call. Because some folks are here just, I'll just be glad when it's over. Some folks aren't here because it just takes too long. I got other things to do. But the call goes out. And I think a lot of the writers do a real good job when people say, well, how do I know I'm elect? You know, Moody put it like this. The whosoever wills are elected, and the whosoever wants aren't. That's interesting. The whosoever wills are elect. And the whosoever wants aren't. How's Paul using it here? And because I'm not going to really get into it. If we go to chapter or 2 Peter, we can talk about election in a lot deeper way. But right here, he's got a group of people scattered, strangers that are being persecuted, that are being really punished to death. I mean, they're being murdered, brutalized, and Peter is standing up and he's giving them a word of encouragement. This word elect here, he's using it to encourage them that there is a life to come that's a lot better than this. And when God called you, when he chose you and called you and saved your soul, it just don't get any better than that. He said elect, according to one, the foreknowledge of God.
All right.
What is God's foreknowledge? What is it? What don't God know?
Amen.
What don't God know? The foreknowledge of God the Father. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Mm-hmm. God knows everyone is going to be saved.
Yep.
He knows everyone is going to be saved. I mean, anyone in here that says, oh, I don't think he knew. Well, you know, you putting God in a box. He knows everything.
Amen.
He's all-knowing. You may not be saved in here today, but I have a responsibility to preach the word to you because I don't know who God elect is. God has called me to preach the word.
Amen.
Preach the word. It's not my business to worry about, well, they may not be elect. It's my business to preach the word. Because there was a time when you wouldn't have thought I was elect. Somebody preached to me. Somebody preached me to me when I was dead in my trespass and sins. My wife had fasted and prayed for me till she was 100 pounds. I looked at her and said, Paul, thank you. You need a hamburger. And I need, yeah, what she said. And you need Jesus. And I heard the word of God. I heard the word of God. I heard the word of God. Just like Nate said it. Nate preached Ephesians chapter 2. And he preached it in about 2 minutes. Took me 35 weeks. And you, Ephesians 2:1, have he quickened. Who did that? You didn't quicken yourself. And you have he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. You were spiritually dead. And if God didn't come by, if God didn't speak to your spirit, you'd still be dead. You'd still be dead. You'd still be dead. Some of you in here right now, dead. Dead, deader than a doorknob. If you died today, I don't even know what I would say at your funeral. I just hope I love somebody in your family. I wouldn't have nothing to say. Don't know you. Don't see you. Living like a fool. Drinking, smoking, cussing. Dead. And I'm stupid enough. Well, I might say, well, that person's in hell, but you don't have to go. And I wouldn't be lying. Well, I say, well, your loved one, your son is in hell now. And he's in hell. And he's lifted up his eyes in hell. And he's praying that I would go to your father or your brother's house and preach to your cousins. That's probably what they would be saying. You're not saved. You're not saved. Elect. According to the foreknowledge of God, the Father. You see all the Trinity right here. Amen. Everything, the three Godheads right here. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Elect because he knew you would be elect. It ain't surprised. You're not saved by surprise.
Amen.
You're saved by the foreknowledge of God. Father, listen. Through sanctification. Why is Peter saying this? Think about this now. Why is Peter talking to these people like this? Why is he giving them this discourse? Why? Because they are going through. They are struggling. They are being persecuted on every side. And they need to be strengthened. They need to be strengthened. They need to know that they are God's chosen elect people, and if all hell breaks out in their life and they die in the skin of an animal, they're still going to be with Jesus. They're still going to go to heaven, and it's going to get better. See, we don't like to hear it. Y'all know I say it all the time. It ought to be just written on your souls. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I said that to Sylvia. I said, you must be just one righteous woman. So you must be the most righteous woman I know. You're the most righteous woman I know, because the word of God said many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Amen.
So you need to see, and you would need to hear this. See, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and one of them is long suffering. See, because we watch that crazy TV and everything supposed to be so wonderful, life's supposed to be so wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Amen.
It's not. Doors snap. Many of the afflictions of the righteous. He says, you want to know if you're elect? That would be a question. Probably on somebody's mind. Am I elect? Am I a Christian? Am I saved? If I die today, would I go to heaven? Follow the scripture. We're going to cover 2. That means turn the page.
reflect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. What does that say? Through sanctification. Now, what's it mean to be sanctified? Means that your life is on a path where day by day you get stronger. You're growing in grace and godliness. Things are dropping off of you. Your just old nature is being renewed. How? Day by day. Day by day. That old nature is being renewed day by day. It's encouraging. It's an encouraging thing. All God's people need to know that they're saved. They need to know that they are living a sanctified life, because this world will has a way of purifying you. It has a way of purifying you. Some of you going through stuff. Going through stuff, and you seem like you just walk out of one mess into another. Maybe God is purifying you, and you need to hear the word from the Lord saying, "You are mine."
Amen.
Jeremiah needed to hear it. And Jeremiah was they called him the weeping prophet. Spent all these days, most of them, in prison. And God came to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1 and 5, and said this to Jeremiah. He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly." There you go. There's the election. "I knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Why did God have to say that to Jeremiah? Because he had to give Jeremiah strength for the journey that he was on. Here's one we love. Hear it all the time. Romans chapter 8. Why is Paul telling these believers this? Because he knew that they were going to suffer and die for what they believed, if they believed it. I hear this a lot at funerals. Another one that shouldn't be read at just anybody's funeral. Look at verse 33 of Romans chapter 8. Familiar. We're so familiar with this. But why is Paul giving the believers in Rome this? Because he knew what they were going to face. Paul knew he went to Rome, he was going to die.
Amen.
And he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And he knew that these believers in Rome were going to suffer. So he gives them strength. Somebody here needs some strength today.
Amen.
He said, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Why did he have to tell them that? Because they needed to hear it. They needed strength. They needed power. That's why when I ask you, got to pray for your pastor. Pray for me. Pray for these deacons. Pray for Jeremy getting ready to be ordained. Yeah, I understand. I hope he understands what he gets into. All hell is going to break out in his life, maybe in his home, maybe in his marriage. But you know what? Who is he that condemns? Look at verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" It's a word of encouragement. It's a word that gives you strength to fight, to keep on pressing. "As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And when did he start loving us? And then when did we understand his love? When we heard the word of God. When we heard the word of God. The word of God empowered our lives to walk out of the lifestyles that we were in. You're not going to walk out of them on your own.
Amen.
You're not going to get yourself together.
Amen.
You need the power of God. You need to ask God for it.
Yeah, that's right.
God, I've heard what this old bald head man spitting and screaming and saying, but I'm stuck. And I don't have the power in me to change my evil ways. I need the Lord to come into my life and set me free.
Amen.
Listen, Paul preaching to these folks. They're going through. I love this part. Name, verse 37.
In all these things, we are more than conquerors. How? How are we more than conquerors? Through Him that loved us. You can run into an apostle today. Romans 8:38-1. Here's Paul. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some folks say, well, you know, I believe that you can lose your salvation. Well, not if you get it right. Oh, now that you get it like Paul's giving it out. Because Paul just destroyed that whole teaching. Paul said, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, maybe if your love is not in Christ Jesus, it can't be separated. Folks needed to hear something. How about Joshua? I have these scriptures written down, but Joshua chapter 1. I was telling Joshua, one of the foster kids that I have, I said, Joshua, in the Word of God, you're a powerful dude. You're a strong dude. You're a leader. Your mother named you Joshua. Look at Joshua. He's hearing the Word of God. It says, in the book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. He's talking to Joshua here. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe it to do all that is written therein. For then shall thou make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You have good success. Meditate on the Word of God. Think on the Word of God. Before you react, think about what would Jesus do? What would God do? What would God have me to do in this situation? Before I open my mouth, what would God have me to do? But then he gives them some strength and encouragement. I like this. Be strong, Joshua, and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Paul talking to the believers at Corinth. They were struggling at Corinth. They were under persecution at Corinth. Listen, there's no such thing as a believer not under persecution. Let me tell you that right now. Okay? You're serving the Lord. You're under persecution. If you don't have any persecution, you may check your green card or whatever card that is. Check your ID. Check and see if you are a part of the fraternal order of Christians. Look at Paul. I know I'm in trouble. Look at Paul. 1 Corinthians 16:13. He's talking to the men. He's talking to the men of the church. He's talking to Vernon and both the Daves and Deacon Oliver and Jeremy and Jake and Paul. He's talking to the men. He's talking to Ray. He's talking to Bobby.
Amen.
Talking to Adam and Mike. Men. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians 6:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. He said, watch. Watch for what? Watch your back. Watch your enemies. Watch for opportunity to do the work of ministry. Watch each other. Sad thing. When brothers and family members are fighting, say they're Christians, say they love the Lord, and fighting. What a shame. Watch each other. Watch yourself. Why? Hebrews 2:1 says that we must take what? A more earnest heed. Unless we what? Slip away. Unless we slip. I said this on Wednesday night, and I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it's John the Baptist. Remember we talked about this on Wednesday night? John the Baptist, chapter 11 of Matthew. I love this. John the Baptist in prison, about to get his head cut off. He knew it. He was going to die because he knew Herodias hated him. And he's in prison. He's in the dungeon of Herod's home. And look at what it says. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end to commanding the 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. John the Baptist. Now when John had heard in prison of the works of the Lord, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them. And he asked him, art thou that he should come, or should we look for another? Did John the Baptist need some encouragement? You better believe he did. He needed some encouragement. Look what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He's not talking about poor folks. Poor folks do need to hear the gospel preached to them, but he's talking about poor folks, poor in spirit. Sickly, without Christ in a sinful world. I don't know. Back to 1 Peter talking about the elect. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter, he's talking not only about our sanctification, not only about the fact that we need to be strengthened, but he's talking about sanctification. See, this is your sanctification. What is sanctification? Clear that up and said, present your body a living sacrifice. Walking and living holy. Walking and living in a way that serves God. I like Colossians chapter 3. It talks about, you want to know if you're elect. You want to know if you're elect? Or where you're going to behave. So we don't hear that. I hear elect, elect, elect. Everybody wants to talk about being elect, but let's talk about the effects of being elect. Now people talk about being elect. They cuss and drink and do everything that the world do, but I'm elect. That's not how it goes, folks. I'm here to tell you. There's a Christian attire that the elect wear. Let's look at Acts chapter 3, verse 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God. Huh? Put this on, elect folks, saved folks. If you're elect, this is how you ought to dress. And I'm not talking about clothes. Amen. Put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, the vows of mercies. What's the vows of mercy? Just deep. You're just a merciful person. The Bible says, blessed are the what? Merciful. You look for opportunities to show mercy. I hear it all the time. People look at me. Your foster parent, you and your wife, y'all must be crazy. Really? I hear that. I hear it all the time. You mean to tell me you took four boys in your home? You must be a fool. Really? 1 Timothy 3 and 3 say that a man of God ought to be what? Hospitable. I don't know what that means to you. But to me it means your doors ought to be open to strangers. Now the 1 Timothy chapter 3 only applies to pastors. Vows of mercy. How about that one? How about kindness? Clothe yourself in kindness. How about clothed in kindness, elect folks, saved folks? See, everybody talking about heaven ain't going. Okay? We can talk the talk. There are too many children in orphanages and adoption agencies. Put on kindness. How about this one? Humbleness. Stop looking down on folks. Amen. Humbleness of mind. How about this one? Meekness. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the word of God. I'm not making this stuff up. Amen. Put on this as you are elect. Amen. See, some folks just use that as a weapon. Well, I'm elect, you not. And they beat each other over the head. You got the Calvinists, and you got the Arminians. They fight. They basically just use that. Satan used them, and they just basically split the whole church down the middle. Uh-huh. Don't even want to call themselves Christians. I'm not a Christian. I'm a Calvinist. Amen. Like the Catholics. If you talk to a true Catholic, a Catholic says, I'm not a Christian. I'm a Catholic. Calvinist says, I'm not a Christian. I'm a Calvinist. You're a Christian. Mm-hmm. That's sad. Amen. But then you don't see none of this. You don't see no kindness. You don't see no humbleness of mind. You don't see no meekness. You don't see no long suffering. You don't see no forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You can't be elected and not have all these virtues and attributes. You have to have them. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do. I don't know. Where you at? How about this one? The next chapter, everybody happened, just happened to be right there, 1 Thessalonians. Talk about elect. What it mean to be elect? Purpose of election. Verse number two. Here's Paul preaching to Thessalonians. He said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Why? "Remembering without ceasing your word of faith and labor of love and patience of hope and in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." All this Paul seen first. Then he says in verse 4, because he's seen all that, he just didn't just declare. He just didn't make a declaration based on nothing. So you say it, I'm saved. Everybody going to heaven. I'd have been to some funerals, brothers, peoples. I'd have seen the dope boys in the casket with their hands in their gang signs, hat, red hat, blue hat, tilted one way or the other, sagging in the casket. Pictures all over where they got their money, their dope money in their hands, and young girls come to the funeral and they super mini skirts and spandex and everybody going to heaven. Here's who's going to heaven. Right here. I just want to make sure you're going. Yeah. What Paul's saying, and here's what God needs to see in you. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brother, beloved, your election of God. How about that? Knowing, brother, your election of God. Hear about that? Don't miss that. But look at verse 5. I know some of you theologians, Paul's probably saying, come one more verse. Dave's going, one more verse. Listen, for our gospel, what is the gospel? It's the good news. It's the good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It's the saving power of the Word. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Oh, you ain't got to jazz it up a whole lot. You ain't got to doctor it up a whole lot. When you read it and explain it, it will come in power. Amen. For those who hear to hear. Not going to sit here and put you in a headlock and drag you up here and say, I want to be a Christian. Don't work like that. It's to the person who sit here today and know that if I die today, I will die and go to hell. And if you think it's bad enough to leave here today knowing that, you're a bigger fool than I thought. If you can stand and you can come to church on a snowy, wintry day and hear the Word of God preached, uncut, and the offer is made to save your wretched, dirty, rotten soul, and you walk out of here and say, I don't need to be saved. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. This would be the next part of what Peter's talking about. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost's job is to teach you. Holy Ghost will quicken your soul and reveal to you that I'm lost. Pastor, thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for preaching the Word of God into my soul.
Amen.
In the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And when you get it like that, you're going to go out and tell some folks.
Amen.
You're not going to have to tell them so much verbally, but you're going to tell them by the way you live. Which I can't live like this no more, brother.
Amen.
Sister, I can't live like this no more.
Yes, sir.
And I'm moving on.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Amen.
There's been a change in me.
Yes, sir.
Let the word of God come to you in power. Saved it did.
Amen.
Saved it did. First Peter. I know. First Peter chapter 1. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification. Sanctification is designed to clean you up. Clean me up, Lord. And you're still working on me. I'm having it all together. Okay. I used to just have Ray and Cindy there could say amen to that. Now I got three more. They can say, yeah, Mr. Neil, you don't have it all together. I don't. Okay. God's working on me. How? Through the sanctification of the Spirit. You're not going to sit here and tell me that you filled with the Holy Ghost. You filled with the Spirit of God and you're still living like an absolute fool. Just don't work. The Holy Spirit is designed to clean you up. And it's another thing. Obedience. I'm going to talk about the purpose of election. Obedience. Huh? He's talking about, Pastor. Doing what it says. You receive the Holy Spirit. You call, you God's people, you saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Spirit. Now you're going to be obedient.
Amen.
You're going to be obedient. That's what the Word of God says. Unto obedience. Unto obedience. What's that? Obeying what the Word of God says. Look at it. Look at 2 Peter. Here's obedience. Here's obedience. 2 Peter. Peter is talking to the believers who have escaped that old corrupt nature. And now Peter's saying that you're saved. It's time for some obedience. Look at verse 5. And besides this, 2 Peter 1 and 5. And besides this, give it all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall what? Neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience. Obedience comes with the territory. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, was obedient. Jesus was called or elected, rather, to do a certain thing before the foundation of the world too. How's that? Acts 2:23. Talk about him, Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And this is Peter preaching. He said, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. What's he saying? What's Peter saying? He understood that. As he walked with the Lord. He understood what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, that I must be mocked and ridiculed, slapped around, spit on, and die on the cross. Remember Peter said, that can never be, and Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan. Mm-hmm. Peter had a better understanding when he started preaching at Pentecost. He was obedient. He was obedient. I know I take a lot of time with this, but it's that meaningful verse as we really get through this series. It'll get a little more. It's all interesting to me, but maybe it won't be so dogmatic. But it is.
Amen.
Obedience. Are you obedient to the Word of God? Amen. I don't know. See what you is. How about this one? How about this last one? And I'm gonna be finishing up. I thought this was interesting. Through sanctification of the Spirit. And unto obedience. And the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We see the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But what's the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ being, Pastor?
It's interesting. Has anybody but sprinkled? All this is done by how? By Christ dying on Calvary's cross. By Christ dying on Calvary's cross. When Christ died on Calvary's cross, what did that do? That saved us. That delivered us. That blood had power in it. And it goes back to the Old Testament, the sprinkling on the blood when they had a covenant. And God would, and Moses rather, or the priest would sprinkle them as a sign that they were going to do what God had called them to do. And this is what these folks had signed up for. And see what Peter is saying here, you got signed up for this. There's no quitting now. There's no walking away now because it's getting a little hairy.
Amen.
And it will. You see, walking in Christianity, you're gonna have to walk away from some things and it may get a little hairy.
Amen.
You may go through some things. And this is why I believe the church, this is where I believe the church fails. Because we're not there. And we'll leave somebody Christ, but we'll leave them there. And when they go through this, see, Peter went back.
Uh-huh.
We asked the people to come to Jesus, and when all hell break out of their life, we don't want to be there to support them.
Uh-huh.
You're saying it's going to get tough. It's going to get real tough. It's going to get real tough for us. If you stay, imagine you stand today on your job. Nate and I, we work for the state. Some of you work for a state facility. We work for a state. Right now, they're shoving the whole homosexual agenda down our throats.
Uh-huh.
Down our throats. And it's coming. It's coming to your job. What are you going to do? You going to stand? If you do, it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
You going to stand? I'm going to close with this was written in 1858 by James Smith. Talk about sanctification. I thought it was interesting. He says, in sanctification, a work is began which is to make us exactly like Christ. A sanctified person has a changed heart. His will is renewed. His understanding is enlightened. His conscience is purified. His affections are spiritualized. How about that? Anybody had their affections spiritualized? When you came to the Lord, did your affections change? If a man experiences the sanctifying work of the Lord, sin grieves him. Satan tries him. The world troubles him. And heaven attracts him.
Amen.
The Spirit of Jesus sanctified us deeply, thoroughly, that we may be just like Jesus. How? In every trial. Are you going to have some trials? Young Michael, you're going to have some trials.
Amen.
Joshua, you're going to have some trials. In every affliction, be like Jesus. In every privilege, in every comfort. Peter finishes off that great text. And he says, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Why does he finish off that with that doxology? Grace and peace to you be multiplied. And I can see Peter looking over at that crowd of people who are going through all hell, breaking out their lives and Nero's on their tails. And he tells them, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. God is the author of all grace and peace. And what Peter is basically saying is, you know what? You stay with the Lord. Come what may, it's going to get difficult. But through it all, trust in Jesus. Trust in the Lord. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the sanctification of the heart. Thank you for those that are here today, Father God, that are lost. They heard the word of God. Let it penetrate their hearts and their souls. And let them walk out of here today, Father God, change persons, different person. Let them realize that Christ has the strength to set them free. Let them know Satan wants to destroy them. Wants to destroy them and wants to destroy their family and their loved ones. But I ask that you be with children that are crying out today. That mother, let that grandmother look at that child and realize that I need to get this child to church. I need to get this child to church. I need to grow this child up in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you for our visitors. Things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.